League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Yes, you are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Let me tell you, I'm joined in the studio by the man, the legend, Gareth Dixon. Whoa. From the Ranger Things podcast. It is time for Chaz and Gaz.
Part two.
Part two.
Good evening.
So many. Good evening to you. Evening. Let me just say, you're always looking absolutely delicious, Gareth. We have got a show for you in the next hour. We're going to be talking about the game with Fulham on Friday night. Don Shanks, QPR legend, will be joining us on the phone at quarter past. Then we've got Lee Clark telling us about the Nottingham Forest game. Dan Bennett, QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times, he's coming on to tell us what he thinks of QPR in this sticky patch. Then we'll be previewing the Derby game. Absolutely gone for it in what is a packed show.
Jam-packed,
mate.
Jam-packed.
Only the best for you.
Damn hot indeed.
I look forward to it. It's Chaz and Gaz. I got that little email.
Does.
I thought, come on. No, obviously, I'm missing.
Well, we missed Gav from last
and
week.
Julian.
But who's he? Oh, it was the same person.
Yeah, it was the same. But no, I'm better. I'm on form.
I'm a little bit older than you. I used to watch a lot of wrestling when I was a kid. And Demolition was one of my favourite tag teams. And it was Axe and Smash. And that's
Axe
when they were great.
Smash.
Then they brought in Crush. And it just ruined it. That's how I feel a little bit time with my sidemen.
Yeah, yeah. You need better wingmen, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Definitely. Well, we've got a packed show coming up. I managed to watch QPR on the... Well, I was going to say the weekend. It wasn't. It was Friday night. They were in
Friday
action.
Weekend's landed.
Yeah, Friday night lights. They played London Derby there. It was against Fulham. They took the lead 2-1. They lost the game. Watched it, Gareth.
Boring. You don't want to use that word, do you?
Well, I think boring's harsh.
It was boring, though. For the neutral, I was bored and I was there.
Yeah, but you're not a neutral.
No, and I was still bored.
I don't think it was boring. I don't know. I just...
It wasn't the most exciting, captivating game, was it?
Why was that then, in your opinion?
What? Because I think that QPR went down there and they didn't roll over, that's for sure. And then Fulham probably weren't as good as they... They missed Mitrovic. I think they went in 2-0 already against Derby tonight at half-time. And they didn't look like a team that you really wanted to be really kind of scared about. And we gave them the game. So they didn't come at us and win it. Yeah, they created chances and put pressure on in the final third, but it was two goals that were very, very soft, which is the story of our season. So that's probably why it wasn't as exciting, because it wasn't like we went 1-0 up and they had to go hammer and tongs to get 2-1 ahead. Then we were smashing their goal down. It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that. Well, before me and Gareth talk about the game in further detail, as always, you can be part of the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Gareth's mum, she tweets in now and again. I'm waiting to hear from Barbara, the legend that she is.
Aren't we all?
You can also call 0208 7020 558. That's exactly what you've done. Addy, you've called into the studio. Obviously, not the right result on Friday. What did you make of it?
But you see, I'm beginning to concur with what the most QPI in my area, in my vicinity, told me that they weren't sure about Mark Warburton. Why the hell do you expect to win games when you're leaking goals?
Yeah, well, this is a massive problem at QPR at the minute, Addy, because obviously no clean sheet this season, and that is a worry because QPR are the only team shipping a lot of goals now. How do they rectify this?
Well, I mean, look, for example, you know, to be honest with you, Mark, I don't think Mark Warburton is a QPR manager. No, it's not. Because, I mean, the second half, I was there, I had people from, you know, who came, were avid QPR fans, who came from Africa, Nigeria, to be precise, yeah? And they were disappointed. He took our only goal scorer up against Fulham.
I think, people were questioning them substitutions. I think both of those were probably due to fatigue. I mean, Wells had played international and Amos had just coming back. But what else could he have done on the night then to affect that game and make a difference?
Yeah, but there is a lot. I think, you know, but defensively, I mean, you know, there were horrible goals to give away. I mean, we're not even clinical. In the first half, we had so many chances, to put the game to bed. It's not that Fulham were better than QPR. No, they weren't. It's far from me, you know.
No.
You know, I think I don't know. I don't, you know, I just don't really know, because I don't, from my personal point of view, you know, I don't think Michael Warburton is a good manager at all. Because I mean, you can draw a parallel to his record to McLaren. They're very similar.
You mentioned that you don't think Warburton's a good manager. Is this a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, you know, just because of this sticky patch? Because I'm not questioning you on that. I'm just saying that it was a great start to the season. We were all getting excited. The away form was better. Yes, QPR conceding goals, but they're in games where, you know, actually for the neutral, let's take out Friday night, great games. They're scoring loads of goals. Yes, they're conceding. They're under typical and difficult restraint from financial fair play, something that they have addressed. It was always going to be a transition in this new dawn. He's doing well under those circumstances, isn't he?
Yeah. He's doing well, but you see, there's always a danger when you bring so many players in. You won't know your best teams. All right, fairness, it's what, 15 or 14 players in. But then this is it, you know. You won't Paul Parker. I know Paul Parker very well. Who was a stalwart for QPR. He said he keeps chopping and changing the defence. We've never had to defend. One minute is Liam Kelly. One minute is Lumley. You know what? The defence. The championship. The secret is we've got the secret of gold, Naki Wells and Hugo. But if you keep changing your defence, you know it's not settled.
I agree with you, Adi. I think you do need a consistent defence. I think in Warburton's defence, I think his hands have been tied a little bit there. I mean, Cameron was suspended, but Bay's had a hamstring injury. He's just come back to training. Same with Liam Kelly. He's had a muscle injury. So he's had to chop and change, really, just because of the availability of the players. But any manager cannot legislate for these individual errors. And for me, the other night, there was, for the first goal, Manning could have defended better. He should have certainly, Kamara could have been picked up by the two centre-halves, and that Joe Lumley mistake for the second goal. So how do they kind of stop making these mistakes, which they've done since the start of the season and cost us points?
Well, you have to, you know, when the market opens, you have to look for the guy at Tottenham, Carl-Peter Walker. You know, he's going to be, if Mourinho can let us loan him. I don't know if they let the guy from Brighton, the guy who's a lead, the defender, rather than getting the Slovenian striker, something like that. Yeah. You know, somebody like that. I don't know our scouting network. It's just not good enough. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Adi, I really appreciate you calling to the studio. Not good enough at the minute. Maybe questioning the manager there. Obviously not happy at all.
Not happy.
Let's talk about that then, Gaff. Because you go every game, you know. If you're not at a game, you're watching, you don't miss it. Is that an anomaly there, or is there a growing concern about Warburton? That felt strange to me. He was questioning the manager there, saying, not the right man.
I think any run of results is not, you know, we haven't had a win in five now, no clean sheets. There's loads of things to point out that haven't gone well, but we're 17 games in, we're 12th in the league. My question would be, where should we be?
Where were you expecting to be?
Yeah, I'll take 12th right now. I think it's a fair reflection of where we are. I think we were overachieving the other week. Well, not overachieving, but our league position was higher than we actually should have been.
Slightly punching above your weight.
Yeah, a little bit. And we got we got some good results on the road. And I think we've struggled at home because we actually are set up to be away from home. And I think, again, we showed that the other night with equal percentage with Fulham, which is a rarity. More shots, more on target. More corners, 7 more corners, and we had 11 corners to their 4. So it's not like we're not creating chances. What's happening is we're not keeping clean sheets, we're not defending well enough. And I criticise Ryan Manning for that first goal. You know, he's played 20 games at left back. He is a central midfielder, or he's a higher attacking midfield player. Does he really know what he's doing there? Is he just a competent technical footballer that can fit in there? Because, you know, we have kind of round peg square holes type thing again. So I think we're happy. I'm happy where we are in 12. I think we've had some good performances on the road. I think the team will come back again stronger. There's no easy games, very cliche, but there are no easy games in the Championship. If it was a loss to Barnsley, who are looking struggling, or Luton, or, you know, those sort of teams, then yeah, I might say it's time to start less thinking about it. But
like Middlesbrough, or
easy. Yeah, but see, again, Middlesbrough, I mean, they
can't score goals.
They lost
could
the
be
weekend. You see the goal they scored the weekend, yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, they've got some quality players. There's good players in the Championship now because of the influx of talent into the Premier League from, you know, all over the world. So the Championship is now kind of like a Premier League B. And, you know, I was saying to mate on the way out from the Palace show that we spent 50k in the summer on Liam Kelly. That's it. Loads of players in. That's it. And it's easy to forget that with these full storms, I suppose, in some respect. Great results here, there, and everywhere. Actually, what's the reality of the situation? FFP hanging over his head. And what Ade said is about going out and buying a player. I actually agree with him on that. I think that it is around personnel that want to defend a bit smarter, a bit harder. I always mention Clint Hill, people get bored of it, but like that sort of defensive player, that someone from that ilk who just head and kick everything, because we haven't got that, and it leads people. And we were looking at McKenna from Aberdeen, maybe a price range, but I think it will be a personnel change that makes a difference at the back there, that is a little bit more leadership like, shouty like, you know.
And it is only November in what is still in the infancy of the Warburton Dawn, you know. It's going to take a few windows and time to get in those personnel, different players. A lot of players were brought in, but maybe we might see a few of those defensive reinforcements in January. Gareth, you called the game boring. You maybe took that word out of my mouth, but it could have been so different. QPR, yes, they took the lead, but, you know, speaking to the Fulham fans here at Love Sport and watching the game, easily could have been 2 or 3, and then we're talking about an entirely different game.
Yeah, the keeper, he had a bit of a worldie in the first 20 minutes, and he had a worldie last season when he was on loan at Rotherham against us, so he mustn't like teams in blue and white. But yeah, it could have been. I mean, they hit the, Tim Ream hit the post from his own post from across.
Nearly a great goal.
Wells had a shot. So yeah, it could have been, you know, 2-3-0 up. You know, that changes the complexion of it a little bit, but it wasn't to be. And then you give soft goals away. You don't defend that 1-0 lead. We're not the sort of team that can defend slim leads. I remember the Luton game, we went 3-0 up, and I was like, everyone's going to be 6-7-8, whatever. Then Lumley comes out and makes his Rennie Higuita Columbia moment from Italia 90 and gives the ball away. And it's like, okay, now it's 3-2. Now we're under the cosh, now they nearly equalised. So we do need a couple of goals to go in front. But I'm confident they'll sort it out.
Yeah, well, sport is about fine margin, especially the Championship. You mentioned Lumley there. Another mistake on the weekend. I say another. I really don't want to single him out. This was sort of... Yeah, exactly. And this, thanks for highlighting that. This was, though, a sort of really bread and butter mistake. You know, it should be simple, should be easy. Fulham capitalised straight away. We spoke, they were missing their big man Mitrovic, you know, but what happened there? Tell us, because it's these simple errors that say the defence isn't performing clean sheets, but then
he's done it a couple of times, Lumley, but he's been told to play out, so you've got to back him on that.
Not like that, I hope.
Well, he's been told to try and play out, right. And obviously he's struggling to do it as well as the top line keepers do, and are now, you know, play for the Liverpools and Man City, so he's struggling with that. And has he done that through his academy career? I don't know. I think, you know, keepers and coaching kids now, it's about the ball at their feet and what they do. Watching the goal back, he got a bit of a dodgy back pass to him. Did he have time to do something better with it? Yes, because maybe he looks at the picture, it's not on to play, and he lumps it. But maybe we don't know what Warburton said. Maybe Warburton has said, whatever the picture is, you try and play. The centre-half split, Leisner got in a bit of a... He didn't spit till really late on, so his option to the left, which would have been his natural option, wasn't really there. So he probably had to go straight down the pitch is where he went. And I don't know where Grant Hall was, because Grant Hall must have split really wide and given himself loads of space. It's exactly what your centre-half wants to do. Lumley's not got the vision to see him or find him. So when it breaks down then, Hawley hasn't got in quick enough back into defend, and that space is there. Leisner's too deep, Paul's too deep, so the guy's on the side and he's in oceans of space. So it's those things. You say it's the keeper's fault, but what about the players around him? What is his options?
What are his options? Well, it was a difficult one. QPR going down 2-1 to Fulham. Next up for them, it's a sort of Midlands double, because they play Forest. Then they play Derby. Two massive games. Teams that are going well in the Championship. Derby, 5 successive home wins, 4 clean sheets there on the bounce. Next up, though, someone who will know all about QPR in the season so far is Don Shanks, QPR legend. He'll be joining us.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast. Oh, he is a flying eagle, let me tell you. Gareth Dixon joins us now. Always a pleasure to be joined by him. A pleasure to be joined by someone else, though. It is QPR legend, Don Shanks. Don, it's a real pleasure to have you join us tonight. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. Not many people know more than QPR than you do. Obviously, a sticky patch at the minute in the Championship, but that is the Championship all over, highs and lows, roller coaster of form. What you're seeing overall, it's a bit of a marker now, we are in November. What have you made of QPR?
Well, obviously Warburton's took over. You know, we're sort of playing good attacking football. We're scoring plenty of goals. I think we've sort of probably fourth in the league or thereabouts with like the goals we're scoring, but we're just giving goals away. I mean, I don't mind us conceding a goal, but like make them work a little bit harder, you know. Like, the boys are sort of working hard. We scored a few real good goals, and then we just give them away. It's a bit soul-destroying for the guys, you know, and they're individual mistakes. It's not team errors, you know what I mean? It's sort of, you know, I can think of four or five goals which really, you know, you just can't be given away as defenders or goalkeepers, like kicking them out and going straight to somebody and then they're doing one pass and straight in, you know?
What would someone like Phil Park say about a mistake like that where they wouldn't have done played out for them back in the day, I'm assuming?
No, we wouldn't have done. I mean, it looks like everybody's doing it now. With me, do you really need to do it? Is it a means of trying to keep possession, not give it away? Well, it doesn't seem to be working for a lot of clubs, because every time I watch a football game, there's a big mess up somewhere, and it's normally from that sort of, you know, part of the field. You know, goalie kicking out someone, he tries to slip it through. Next thing you know, they've got it in there. You know, they let a goal in. I mean, obviously, Man City might be able to do it better than most, but, you know, they've got the best players in the country. So, you know, Parksy, oh, he'd be going mad. He wouldn't be doing any passing. Phil would be just right up past the halfway line, and let's get the next one, you know.
And Don, you when you talk about QPR, you say you're born in Hammersmith and a Fulham schoolboy, but QPR's your club of choice in West London?
Yeah, no, I was sort of like, you know, always in the White City. I was born sort of as a kid, brought up there, and, you know, local area, Canberra, Christopher and West London, you know. QPR was the team, you know, back in the days of Marshy and, you know, that 66, 67 League Cup winning team. No, they were great days, yeah.
And then you came back to the club as a player and played 180 games for us. And talk to us about some of those memories and some of those great players that you played with.
Well, you know, when I went there, Dave Sexton bought me, and obviously Stan was my good mate, and Jerry Francis knew real well. You know, a lot of the guys in them days, you know, the likes of Martin Busby and people, Parksy, yeah, we had a lot of great players, you know, Don Mass and people. You know, that was a sort of special team. It was like one of them teams that just surprised everybody, and then all of a sudden people bought into what a good football team it was, you know, and they really were. You know, the year we got robbed for the league when we ran second, it was sort of like that was soul-destroying. But as individual players, I mean, we had some fantastic players. I mean, if you think about it, if you want to look back, I don't know how many we had, but I dare say, thinking off the top of my head, it must have been 8 or 9 first-team players were internationals, you know.
Don, we had a caller earlier on the show tonight, and, you know, we know that when it isn't the best run of form at the minute, that sticky patch, knee-jerk reactions, obviously it feels more like that in an age where social media dominates everything, but fans are really going, maybe Mark Warburton is the man, no clean sheets. Why do fans get like this, and how much the players, you know, your former player yourself, how much do you hear the outside noise of the fans from the club?
Well, I think the fans are a bit frustrated. Look, we've had nothing sort of good for a while, and we sort of, you know, we've got high expectations. We want, you know, we want to be up there fighting. And at the beginning of the year, I mean, I think if all the fans were honest, they'd all be just be saying, well, look, we haven't really spent any money. We've had these problems and this. We've let a lot of players go. We've got a lot of youngsters coming in. If we just stay in the league and we could finish anywhere near halfway, that would be a result. And then we had that good run where we went up to fourth. And I think everybody is thinking, oh, well, we're right up there. We're as good as anybody else, which we were. But the consistency that's required and, you know, not giving away bad goals, which is required, you know, that sort of hurts a little bit. Plus, we've got the young boys in there. You know, Chair is a real good player, but he might be getting a little bit jaded now. Ezzy, the big expectations from him. I like Samuel, but he's not playing at the moment. I don't know if he's injured or whatever. But I think we just got to be a bit patient and, you know, say, well, if this season we can sort of like, you know, we're playing good football. We know we're looking like scoring on lots of attacks, but we're getting forward. You know, we're playing decent as a team. I'm quite happy, you know, with what I'm watching. But like when you see the nightmare sort of pass, and all the fans are waiting for it now, they just know we're going to make a mistake. And, you know, and I think from the players' point of view, you know, when you're playing in a team like this, you're just saying, so we've got to score 2 goals to win it.
And Don, you mentioned the fans there and being patient as well, and Charlie was talking about what the fans are around the club, and obviously the fans have rallied around Stan and was at the quiz last week. What do you make of the fans' response to a legend like Stan?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they've been brilliant. I mean, a lot of the guys as well don't really know Stan. You know, we've got to look back and say that's 40 years ago. And, you know, Stan's still got that reputation of, you know, being like Stan the man, cavalier player, great player. But he was a community guy. You know, Stan was around every sort of, you know, the pubs in the area. His mates were all from sort of, you know, the Bush, Notting Hill, Latimer Road. He was seen everywhere. You know, you wouldn't go around Hammersmith without seeing Stan at some point during the day. So I think really the fans are sort of, you know, they think of the good memories. I think, like, you know, what a great player he was. And, you know, if they can sort of get there, the supporter do, you know, they'll come along, which, you know, the other night was a great night. I really enjoyed it, you know.
I think Stan would have been proud, actually, because I was on the winning quiz team, and just, let's say, my knowledge of QPR and even general knowledge isn't that strong. We ended up winning, so I don't know if we had a couple of ringers, but the money went back in the pot, and we made some good money tonight, and it was a good crack down there.
Yeah, it was. I thought, I mean, like, you know, obviously Robert Elms is tremendous, and the other guy, Russell, Phil, went up there. You know, I think it was a real good night, and obviously Joanne Connolly and John Mahoney, they put on a nice event. It was a pleasure to be there, and I think all the fans, you know, they valued the money. It was a good night out, and as you said, it was for Stan, and, you know, he's obviously, nothing's changed for Stan, unfortunately, he's not going to. It's just a matter of how bad it sort of gets, but the family really appreciated that. I spoke to them in the morning, and they sort of said, oh, it's fantastic what they're doing. They're really, you know, quite taken by the support that everybody gives Stan, you know.
Yeah, I was there myself. It was a fantastic night, and Don, I think you're a legend of the night for Stan and representing QPR as well. And it just feels like we've got a bit of that soul back to the club, that which is what QPR is about. As you said, Stan was a community man, and it's a local club and stuff. And we kind of lost a little bit of that, I suppose, you know, in the Premier League years. So it's good to get that back, and I think the other night was more evidence of that.
Well, I mean, you know, we'd finish games, and obviously we'd all have a drink in them days. You know, it wasn't so much media coverage, obviously, as what there is now. You know, so you could get away with a few things if you felt, you know, you may be getting drunk tonight, which a lot of people do after a game. But we'd always be in the area. You know, we'd be in the Crown and Scepter, which you heard them talking about the other day, Red-Faced Jimmy's, we'd be in the Springbok. We'd be everywhere, over the Dogs. And, you know, we'd talk to anybody and have a bit of fun. You know, they're fans. You know, we love them. You know, they sort of keep us going.
And at some of the stories in the book, there's some, you know, were they true, weren't they true? Just one for me, the one about the ambulance, was that true?
Oh, the ambulance, yeah, that was true, yeah. We went to one of the testimonials, or Man City were in town or something, if that's the one. Yeah, I was driving the ambulance through London. Stan was ringing the bell, yeah.
You just couldn't see it happen now, couldn't you? You couldn't see Eze and Grant all doing it, could you?
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Forget about the drink and driving and all that, my goodness.
Don, it was a real pleasure to get you on. Honestly, just to hear your anecdotes and hear your insight, a real pleasure for us. We'd love to get you on at a later date, and hopefully when QPR's formatted, it takes a little upturn.
Well, we've got Forest tomorrow, boys. Let's start there.
Indeed. Let's start there. What's your score high prediction,
scoring,
Don?
High scoring game, 3-2, hopefully to us.
3-2, we'll take that, Don. Always a pleasure to have you on. Don Shanks there, a QPR legend.
Cheers,
obviously,
Don.
Gareth, you saw him at that quiz.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
quickly talk about that
amazing
quiz, because you and Gavin were on last week. You were teaming up.
Yeah.
You said you were going to get on. How did the night go, and how did you do?
We won, which was great.
Oh, something's gone on there.
Yeah,
you won a quiz.
We met some friends on the night, and they were lovely people. Stuart and Barbara from South London. Got on them really well, sharing the Pringles out, you know.
Good man.
Having one or two Guinnesses and stuff. And halfway through the quiz, I thought, Stuart, you're pretty good at this, isn't you? You should maybe do a bit of chase or go on one of these quiz shows. So, oh, yeah, it's a Octo something. I can't even pronounce it. Basically, it means 8-time champion on Countdown. Oh, 15-1. Yeah, I've won that a few times. I was like, fantastic. Yeah, so tallest building in Dubai, no problem. Still don't know what it is. But, yeah, anything that was coming out, I mean, I don't know where this geezer was getting his knowledge, but
so you had a couple of ringers on team.
Yeah.
You and Gavin were giving it the big guns. You've ended up with 8-time Countdown champion, 15-1 champion, seeing you get home.
Yeah, we romped home as well. Romped home.
Oh, so you should.
Right, one question I had was Charlie Austin, 20 goals in a season.
Yep.
The only time in 2000 since the millennium has happened. Who was the other one? You won't get it. Gav didn't get it. I got it.
So, wait, say the question again.
So
right.
There's only one QPR striker that scored 20 goals in a season since the turn of the millennium.
Okay.
One was Charlie Austin. Who was the other one?
What year was it?
Oh, quite.
Am I allowed that?
I'll say 2004. Were you born?
Go on, who
you
was
don't
it?
You get it. It was Andy Thompson. See? You can Google him in the break.
Wow, that is unbelievable. You got that?
I got that.
What country show did you quiz show did you win?
University Challenge, probably.
My man, of course you did. Well, unbelievable. They won that quiz. Had a few ringers on their team. Was that allowed? I'm not so sure. Well, next up, we will be talking to two guests in one section. Lee Clark from Nottingham Forest News will be joining us. And Dan Bennett, QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times, is also coming on.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things, the only Ranger thing that we care about tonight, Chaz and Gaz. Mr. Gareth Dixon joins
you
us
now. Toe when you did all that then.
Yeah, I thought I did. I thought I'd go with it. Always commit. If I go, I'll stick with it, Gareth. I'm not doing it again, though. Delighted to say, though, Dan Bennett joins us now, QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times. Dan, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time. We've had callers in. We're talking about Warburton. We're talking about, you know, this sticky patch. No clean sheets this season, conceding goals. But as Gareth says, we didn't expect to be here. We are 12th. We'll take that. What do you make of it all?
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, like you said, obviously the expectations at the start of the season were quite low, given all the changes during the summer. You know, not much money was spent. Obviously, a lot of players were brought in. You know, obviously, with going back to the financial fair play and all that comes with it, obviously, expectations weren't too high. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, they had the amazing run earlier in the season. But like we spoke about, you know, the other week, it's just sort of seems to have taken a bit of a dip. And you look at that Fulham game and it was almost like story of the season. It was the same problems kind of presenting themselves again. And it was obviously the individual errors again that ended up costing them. You know, I asked Mark Warburton after the game about the individual errors, and he was quite keen to not put too much on individuals, which kind of makes sense if you're the manager. Obviously, you're not going to start picking out your own team, but he sort of, you know, really put an emphasis on that the team has to take responsibility as a whole. I think you look at the second goal, and it's pretty much all down to Joe Lumley. Obviously, you don't want to be too harsh on him. You know, he did make some good saves, but it's things like that. And you look back to the Middlesbrough game as well. They should have had 3 points in that, but obviously Naki Wells' pass cost them 2 points in that. And then they should really have had a point against Fulham, but another individual mistake cost them. So that's the big thing at the moment. They just need to kind of cut those out.
Dan, you said you spoke to Warburton after the game. Does he like you? Because he doesn't always give the impression he likes his post-match interviews.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
You're on his Christmas list. Some of them ain't.
probably not too much. No, it's tricky. Obviously, you've got to ask him the, you know, about Lumley. It was pretty high profile. You know, you can't really just gloss over it. You've kind of got to ask him. But no, I think he recognises that people are going to pick up on that. And I think he's not silly enough to not know that was a mistake. But I think the big thing is, obviously, he doesn't want to put too much blame on Joe Lumley, because obviously Liam Kelly's out injured. He's kind of got to rely on Joe Lumley. He's got, you know, that Dylan Barnes on the bench who come in the summer, who's supposed to be quite highly rated. So whether it's crossed his mind to actually put him in, I'm not sure, but I think, to be honest, he'll stick with Joe Lumley until Liam Kelly comes back. So yeah, it's a difficult time at the moment, but like I said, it's just these individual errors, I think, that are really, really costing them at the moment.
Yeah, and I think some of the fans, talking about the keeper situation, some of the fans saw one save from Marcian Borowski, I think his name is, or something like that, in the 23s, and calling for him to be included in the first team. So it's a bit sensational. I think the keeper situation is right under the microscope at the moment, because the mistakes are there. Liam Kelly hasn't made too many mistakes but conceded a lot of goals. So it's a situation and a position that Warburton's going to have to sort sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, to be fair to Liam Kelly, I think he has done okay. I mean, when he first came in, obviously, it was a bit of a step up in level for him. He kind of made a few dodgy passes as well, I remember, in games, and it was sort of got fans on edge again because they'd seen Joe Lumley do it all season, and then obviously Liam Kelly was doing it as well. But I think you look at it, and I don't think any of the goals really have been too much of his fault off the top of my head. I think, you know, he probably will put Liam Kelly back in when he regains fitness and when he comes back in, because I think he kind of deserves it this season. But it's yeah, it's a shame for Joe, because I know he is obviously a good goalkeeper. He's very talented and he's got ability. There's no doubt about that. But he just seems to be really low on confidence at the moment. And, you know, we obviously gave the ball away against Luton in a similar way. And you do wonder if it's just kind of playing on him at the moment. And he's obviously, Mark Warburton likes his team to play out from the back, and that's what he's asked them to do. But it seems like Joe Lumley's sort of struggling to adapt to that almost at the moment.
Yeah, and we saw that with Ingram under McLaren when he couldn't play out from the back and got kind of vilified and booted out and ostracised. And people are talking about Lumley going back to that Villa game last season where he got injured and kicked in the head and said, has he recovered from that? I think he has, but it is something that there seems to be something missing there. Charlie called the game boring on Friday. I thought it was pretty harsh. Did you enjoy the game?
Yeah, I don't think it was too boring, to be fair. I think the first half, the first 20 minutes were quite entertaining. You know, it was all QPR. You look at those first 20 minutes and you thought, oh, obviously maybe they've got back to their earlier season form and they've kind of rediscovered that. But obviously, yeah, the things happen that have happened quite a lot this season. But yeah, I mean, the second half sort of calmed down quite a lot, really. I think Fulham, after they got the goal, especially from the mistake, the last sort of 20 minutes, sort of half an hour after that was... wasn't as exciting, you know. I think Fulham kind of knew what to do. They managed the game well, and they knew how to kind of shut QPR out. But yeah, I mean, you look at the first half performance up until their goal, especially, and it was, I think, up there with probably the best QPR have played all season against a really good opposition. So to go from that, obviously, to conceding two goals again and not getting any from the game is massively disappointing.
Yeah, Dan, obviously, you mentioned that you spoke to Warburton after the game. You're someone that, you know, you get to be in those press conferences. You know the vibe and the atmosphere, the environment around him at the minute. It's interesting. We've had callers tonight worrying about the form, where this dip in form has come from. No clean sheets. Maybe we've even had someone say Warburton is not the right man. Tweets saying the same. Have you noticed any, like, as the mood shifted at all, or is that slightly changing the consensus a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's shifted slightly. I mean, it always does in a poor run of form. I think it's very harsh to say that he's the wrong man for the job. I think, like we spoke about a minute ago, if you look at the expectations at the start of the season and what he's actually managed to do with the team, and they're scoring a lot of goals, you know, you can't forget that too much. But like the big thing is, it's not just the drop in form, it's the fact that they haven't kept a clean sheet this season. And I think they've conceded at least two goals. I think that's in the last 9 games now, which is a pretty amazing stat, because, you know, the general consensus, and I think most people agree, is if you concede two goals in a game, you're very unlikely to win it, aren't you? And that's kind of been the case, especially recently. But it's, yeah, I mean, the mood's shifted slightly. I mean, perhaps he's a bit more serious, you know, to what he was over to when they had the good run. But he's still very calm, you know. I think he knows like what the problems are. It's just don't seem to be really fixed, and I think that's a big part of where the fans' concerns come from as well. It's the fact that it's been going on for quite a while now for most of the season, and it doesn't seem to be a kind of fix. And I heard earlier, obviously, maybe one of the fixes is when the January window comes, whether he's going to look for more defensive recruitments. I mean, that's an obvious way to fix it, so we'll have to wait and see if that's the way he goes.
And for me, tomorrow night, Forest, probably not an ideal fixture to be going in on the back of that run.
No,
Forest
looked
pretty decent this season. Do you think the fact that Warburton didn't feel happy about his time there and how he left will add an extra bit of bite to him and the team tomorrow and be determined to get a result, or at least put a performance in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely made the game a little bit more interesting, hasn't it? I mean, he got asked the question by another journalist and he was pretty honest about it. He just said, you know, I was really unhappy when I... with the way he kind of left there. And see, I remember it when it happened at the time, I remember thinking it was quite harsh because they were kind of sitting mid-table and not doing too badly. And he sort of was obviously quite keen to stress that, you know, it wasn't about him, it's about the team. But I think he will be quite keen to kind of show what his teams are about and what the way he can get them to play. And yeah, definitely he's kind of got a point to prove of the way that things went at Forest, I suppose.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Certainly it's going to play out over the next few weeks. Hopefully that form can turn around. Dan, thank you for joining us tonight. Always a pleasure to have you on the QPR show. Dan Bennett there,
good
QPR
time.
Reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times. Gareth, obviously we say please tweet, and you can tweet at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. I've had another tweet into the studio from Paul Cousins. This is interesting because his tweet tonight says, "Evening, gents. This is the third week I've messaged and it is the same message. Our defence is a liability. We are not clinical in front of goal. What a mistake by Lumley. We're wasting our good start. The fans will turn on Wolves. We have to concentrate for 90 minutes." My first question is, what do you make of that tweet? But the second question is this. He says, "The fans will start to turn on Wolves." These are his three messages. First message that he ever put was, "Hi guys, Paul from Beckenham. We need to get behind Warburton. We have great momentum, great team spirit. He's the man to have done this. Keep clean sheets. Lumley reduce errors." Lumley's a theme. "Let's get behind Warburton." And now, obviously, in the second one, it says, "Lumley again mistakes. I'm starting to get worried. Next season, who knows? We need to tighten this defence." And then that last message, Warburton, it could turn. Just in those three messages alone highlights that. And obviously the theme of the defence and Lumley. But genuinely, cheers, Paul, for those messages. Honestly, it highlights so much. But Paul, you should always call into the studio and then we can actually, me and Gareth, can have a chat about it. But Gareth, what do you make of that?
I feel like going all politician now and going, what did I say? Paul from Beckenham is. Yeah.
But, that was a good impression, thanks, mate. Bang on. Steptoe and Boris. Bosh. Watch out.
Bosh. He's it nail on the head, I think. I think for the general kind of QPR fans, the masses, I think that's where, you know, we don't want to see mistakes from keepers. Lumley is kind of one of our only kind of came up for the youth team and you want him to do well, but you can't keep defending him. And I think you do get a little bit of an extra life there, really, if you kind of make mistakes, if you're one of our own type thing. And yeah, fans, they are fickle. They will turn. Mr. Warnock's on the market. He's not the right man for us now. He was a couple of years ago, nearly a decade ago. People forget that. But yeah, while he's out there, I think people will be thinking, oh, get him back in. He did a great job as caretaker as well in between. Well, if not, won't be in between, but... You've got to give Warburton a lot more time than this.
Yes.
But they've got to stop conceding goals.
It is really interesting. Just even the Warburton thing tonight, really strange. Well, someone who will know all about Warburton is Lee Clark from Nottingham Forest News. Lee, really, well, it's good to hear from you, Lee. I get to talk to you on a Nottingham Forest fan show. I don't know what you've managed to rock up on the QPR fan show, Lee. But
we're paying him tomorrow night.
Yeah, good to hear from you again. It is the game tomorrow night, QPR from Forest. And there is that link, there is that connection. Lee, QPR fans are getting worried. It's all about Warburton.
Yeah, quite interesting, the little section I've just heard there. But it's one of those, I hate to say I told you so moments. I think I saw a lot of sort of posts on social media from QPR supporters who were really happy with the Warburton appointment. And do you know what? He does come in and he ruffles some feathers, he gets some new players in. For a while, his football all seems pretty good. But then it kind of goes south pretty quickly. It's one thing that Forest fans will always remember him for was the motto, if you're after a plan B, it's to do plan A better. Which is kind of... We kept losing games 1-0, we kept just trickling 3 points away with 1-0 defeats where we'd have 70% of the ball, 20-odd shots, and we'd lose 1-0 to a single goal. And Warburton would come out and say, plan B is to do plan A better.
You only conceded one goal. Oh, the dream. The dream. I actually came to the City Ground, as many QPR fans did. As you know, we didn't have a good time there for about 84 years, and then we broke that hoodoo. So it was a long time coming. But the time I went up there before we beat you 1-0, won't say it again, but we lost 4-0, and it's Warburton's side, and you looked well beaters, and even the set pieces were unreal that day. I was like, what's going on? These guys look really good under Warburton.
Yeah, do you know what? That was a flashpoint for us because we thought, right, he's actually got it sorted now. He knows how to get the team scoring more than once and, you know, we have got goals in the side. That particular day, if I remember rightly, Tyler Walker absolutely ruined you through the right wing.
Yeah, well, not personally, just the team, yeah.
Well, no, sorry, the team, Queen's Park Rangers, on the right wing. And after that game, he played so well there that Mark Warburton decided, because you've played so well there, I'm not going to play you there anymore. And he started messing about with him on the left. And I remember he played him up front against Sheffield Wednesday and he just looked lost. And everyone was crying out for him to go back on the right wing. And then we got the famous comments about, well, that basically indicated that he's the manager and we should all shut up.
And Forest's season look, you know, under the manager now, look really, really good. I think have you lost 3 games in the 17? You've not lost many. So what should we expect from Forest tonight? How are you getting those results? What sort of style of football are you playing?
Well, I was saying on the Forest show on the Thursday a couple of weeks ago, actually, it's really strange because for years we've kind of been after the winning formula. And Sabri Lamouchi's got it without playing an overly attractive style of football. He's kind of realised that we need to keep clean sheets. But at the same time, when we do get chances, he's identified that we need to take them. And the games we have won, it's been a case of shutting up shop at the back, hitting the teams on the counter, and then, you know, hopefully putting one or two goals in the other net. So I wouldn't... If you're after what we expect tomorrow, you'll get a lot of the ball. If you can use it and get past a pretty informed defence, then, you know, you're going to force us straight away to change our style.
Yeah, Lee, obviously I don't get to hear from you this early. That's perhaps why you're saying that they tore Gareth apart. Normally me and you have to chat much later. But a big thing that me and you have always spoke about is obviously that Forest are going well this season. Just need to, you know, score a few more goals, take their chances, create a few more chances, be more clinical. Perfect time to be facing QPR then, because no clean sheets this season and conceding a lot of goals, shipping a lot of goals, Lee.
That's right. I mean, you can never, you know what I'm like with the Championship, you can never kind of put your finger on any game and say, yeah, we're going to win that one, because it's just the nature of the beast with the Championship. But yeah, I mean, QPR aren't in the greatest of form. But that said, Loftus Road, it's a tight little stadium. If I remember rightly from the last time I went, the pitch is pretty close to the front row of the spectators, so that's quite intimidating. So it's always going to be a tough game. Any away game in this league's tough, but yeah, I think we'll be confident of going there and getting a positive result.
Yeah, positive result, hoping for that lead. Just quickly then, what is your score prediction?
With any away game, I'd take a point. I'd love to win. If you're asking me to predict, I'm going to go with my heart rather than my head and say that I think we will just nick it. But I do think they will score. Jordan Hugill up front seems to have a style that could trouble both of our centre-halves, whoever plays. So I'll go for 2-1, a narrow 2-1 win, away win.
Well, either way, we'll get to pick that apart and see if you're right, Lee, because we'll chat on the Nottingham Forest fan show Thursday at 10:30. I will see you there. Lee Clark from Nottingham Forest News there. He's saying they won. We're going to get Gareth's predictions and to see what he thinks. Can QPR nick a result? He said that they're going to score. We're going to talk about it next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR... I don't know what Gaff's doing. I feel like he's zoned out. He's Dan Tools. He's absolutely Dan Tools.
Yeah.
Mate, this is four sections, this show. We're bringing you the
two
best
quarters,
right
section.
Here.
Two quarters, one section. Threw me off.
Yeah, exactly. We're bringing you the best right here at Love Sport Radio. It's what we do. We've packed out the show.
Mate, do no
Mike
derby preview.
Absolutely smashed it. Got a derby preview. We had Lee Clark on. We had legend Don Shanks. We spoke to Dan Bennett, QPR reporter for Brent in Kilburn Times. We spoke to Addy. He said Mark Warburton's got to go. You know, get him off. He's not the man for us. We've reviewed that Fulham game. Now we're still previewing the tomorrow game with Forest. What
tomorrow?
We do.
It's not tonight.
It's tomorrow's game.
Oh, right,
although so. You said tonight.
Oh,
but,
well, okay.
Don't worry about it.
Someone's got to be professional. Sorry about that.
Exactly. You know, we don't all phone in a performance like you. But, friends.
See ya.
Oh, dear, Chaz.
Chaz and no guys. Chaz and
oh,
no guys.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about the game tomorrow. And we still want your views
Which
tonight.
One?
Tweets from Paul Cousins. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio 0208 7020 558. Well, it is Forest tomorrow. Mm. We heard what Lee Clark had to say. He said Forest are good for a goal. QPR are good for a goal, excuse me.
Oh, dear.
even better than that, because Barbara has tweeted in and the smile and the laughing has stopped and left your face. Barbara has just said, evening, Chaz and Gaz. Great. Evening, Chaz and Gaz. Great to hear Don Shanks, the legend. I agree with all the points on the show tonight. Gareth feels a little bit flat. Sorry about that, Charlie. My prediction for a Forest is for a Forest clean sheet, 2-0. I think that says the prediction for Forest is that QPR are going to win and they get a clean sheet.
Yeah, she's illiterate. Don't bring it up, Charlie.
What did she say that? Gareth's years. A bit flat tonight.
Don't know what you say, because you're not going tomorrow, Mum. That's what it is. She's not going to the game
Jealousy.
For the first time in a long time.
She didn't really say that.
Oh,
right. Oh. She has tweeted in though. Genuinely,
I don't know what truth or fiction is anymore. You, Charlie.
Fake news, Barbara. We really appreciate you tweeting in as we always do. But you just did hear Lee Clark. He said it's going to be a close game. Forrest are just going to nick it. Was that a little bit surprising to you?
A terrorist name is Babs, by the way, but not really. I think that. Surprising that Forest are going to win. No, I'm really worried about tomorrow night. There's empty seats all around me. People, you know, I've got things to do, I've got things to watch, you know, something about people in the jungle and stuff. I don't know, but I'll be there, you know, on my own. And if we get a result, I'll be happy. But I don't know. It's Forest look decent, as I say. I think they've only lost three all season or something.
They look really decent. Under
really
new man themselves, Lamucci, you know, really going well for them this season.
But what Lee said about us having the ball, I actually think, well, we get a lot of the ball anyway, and I think if we get easy in those right positions, and I think he was very disappointed with his second half performance, but he probably should have come off. Addy right at the top of the show said, you know, why did he bring Wells and Amos off, and they're attacking threat and whatnot, but I think there was, you know, reasons behind that, but I think Easy will want to kind of get back on track with it a little bit, and he might go, if we're going to get possession, we need those kind of like Easy in the chair and Bright again, which Addy picked up on, what he likes. Bright, he doesn't come off the bench a lot, and Don Shanks, sorry, picked up on Bright not playing off the bench.
What a show we've had.
I know, you can't keep up with it, you know. I'm nearly 40.
Packed out. You don't look a day over 39, my man.
Thanks, mate.
Let me...
37 here, though.
Obviously, it's going to be a tricky game
trees.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very tricky game tomorrow, but Forest... it's going to be tough. I just feel that QPR needs something now, Gareth. They need something to galvanise this next run of fixtures, something to spark the side into that good run of form. What can that be?
I'm just going to name check every caller, because Dan Bennett said it right, you know, that Warburton after the game was annoyed that we didn't get anything out of that game. So I think the spark is the run, or the lack of goals, the lack of clean sheets, sorry, the lack of points on the board in the last couple. Warburton's ex-club, there's enough there to go on. There's enough kind of factors to say, right, we get up for this one. And I think, you know, if Lumley's going to be in the team because Kelly's not ready, you know, it's his last chance saloon, so he's going to need a big one.
Wow, last chance saloon. And added spice, obviously, for Warburton, because obviously returning, obviously was Forest manager. I don't think he's too professional for that. But do you think there, you know, it's just a 10%.
It's not Gary Monk, yeah.
Like, he just gives the players, you know, they know what it means for him. You know, he wants to make a statement, because obviously there are some feelings left behind from his time at Forest.
Yeah, I think that, I think Warbs has got a little bit about him, though. He does remind me a little bit of Christian Bale in American Psycho. He could just go off, you know, in that stockbroker moment, just like ring the bell and like chop everyone's heads off. But hopefully he doesn't do that tomorrow night. Yeah, no, sorry, it's a little bit abstract at the end. But hopefully he gets them going. There's enough about him to get them going in the change rooms. And yeah, I think we nick one 1-0.
Yeah, it was a strong film reference there, American Psycho. I'm sure your business card is done in eggshell white.
Hey.
Let's quickly talk, though, because then it's Derby on the weekend. You've got this Midlands double. I would say, you know, Derby, 5 successive home wins, 4 clean sheets, got absolutely flattened by Fulham tonight, 3-0.
Yeah, I spoke to a Preston fan, and he said that Tom Lawrence was unreal against them. They were Derby space.
Derby absolutely put Preston aside.
So maybe they're, you know, a home side, and we're in a way. So that'll be an interesting one, because that one I've got a little bit more confidence going into. Funny enough, the Derby one, after seeing what's happened to him tonight, and I think that could be a good game. And there's the, you know, the added spice of the Derby QPR playoff final, and Richard Keogh giving us an assist greatly in that game. And him now not being in the club. So, we'll give a bit of banter that day. And I'm looking forward to that one, actually.
More so than tomorrow?
Yeah, because I don't think we're set up for playing at home. I think I've spoke about some things there. And, you know, my heart says, you know, let's nick a 1-0 tight one. Let's nick it with a set piece or
Derby
something.
Derby have got great home form, Gareth.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. I know. It's true, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your score prediction then for both
those
games?
For which one?
We'll go with Forest.
Well, I've said 1-0 already, if you were listening. But other than that, I'll say it again, 1-0. I've had one now, mate. You know, you're bringing me mother into it.
I know that rattled you. I know your trigger button.
Exactly.
All right, let's get your prediction for Derby.
Derby, I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2. Just when you said let's go up there, let's do it. I said a good game. Yeah, 2-2.
Doesn't mean we're going to win it. You know, it's like Arsenal. Let's have a good game and nick a draw against Southampton. So, you know, take it when you get it.
What a show this has been. As it always is every week on a QPR fan show. Your mum has tweeted again. Oh. Charlie can have my seat, Gareth. I don't know what that means.
Don't know, neither do I.
Oh, Babs. I think
maybe it's a metaphor.
It's a compliment to me. Always a pleasure. This has been the Chaz and Gaz Show, the QPR fan show with a Rangers thing podcast. The legend,
there
of course,
go.
It was Gareth Dixon. As it is every week, 9 to 10, right here on Love Sport Radio. We will see you next week when we'll have 2 games to talk about. Another packed show awaits.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.